Curtis, I'm going to hand directly over to you to take over the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Oh, Father. You know, the presence of the Lord is here. Yeah? Do you believe that? How many of you can feel the presence of God? Just stick your hand up in the air. Yeah. Yeah. You know, folks, I firmly believe that that the reason that we're here together and the reason we gather together is so that we can receive something twofold, really. It's so that we can give something to God. What does God want from us? What does God need from us? Do you know God has a need? Do you know He needs something from me? He needs something from you. Did you know that? I'm being straight with you. I've wondered, God, what's this whole deal all about? You know, like, you're so great and omniscient and omnipotent and all the other stuff that half the time I don't even know what it means, you know. And you think, well, if you're all of that, then what could you possibly want from me? You know, like, what do you need from us? What does the one who created everything need from the thing that He created? But you know what? God needs affection. God needs to be loved. Wow. I mean, where do you think you got it from? So when we get together like this, I think there's two things that happen, isn't there? There's two things that always happen when we get together like this. And I've oftentimes wondered, God, what, you know, what is church all about? What are these meetings all about? Why do we come together in a building? What's this whole deal? Is this really important to you? Does this really matter? You know. But the second thing that happens when we gather together like this, the first thing is that we give something to God. And what is that? That's our affection and our worship. Right? You know, in the Old Testament, we hear constantly over and over again, I offer to you a sacrifice. Why is it a sacrifice? Because, you know, half the time, I don't know about you, like, be honest with me, half the time, I don't even feel like worshiping. Anyone here like that? Okay, just one person nodding their head. Okay. I don't even feel like it. It's a sacrifice, isn't it? It's a sacrifice of praise, of sacrifice of worship. You know. God, are you so insecure that you have to have our worship? I don't think it's that He's insecure. I just think that He has such a tremendous need for affection. That's why He created us, right? Oh, Father. You know, he's so amazing, isn't He? Eh? Isn't He? He's so amazing. I can't even begin to understand that kind of love. I just can't, guys. You know, in the last couple of years, you know, I've been some places where, oh, in my soul. Have you ever been through the dark places of the soul? Anybody? You know, I'm not talking about, you know, like, I'm not worshiping Satan or anything like that, but just, you know, when you're in a really low place, you know. You know, God, anybody here? You know, God ordained that? You know that? Just to show you that He hasn't left you? You know, God, what's this all about? You know, He desires our worship. He desires our worship. He desires our affection. That's what he's after. What do we have to give Him? Honestly. You know. You know, Christianity hails God as being this being that is all-sufficient, that He's light and in Him there's no darkness at all, and He created everything that exists. He created time as He creates everything else, you know. This great, awesome being. What does this great, awesome being want from us? What could He possibly want from? What could He possibly need from you? A need from me? Our affection. Our worship. He wants to be loved. Oh, Father, we will love You, Lord. Yeah? We will love You, Lord. We love You tonight, Jesus. Father, we love You tonight. Whether we're in this place right now, where everything feels nice and warm and fuzzy, or whether we're outside, where it's real hard and prickly, Lord, we will love You. We will love You. What did Jesus say? Didn't He say something to the effect that if we don't do it, the rocks are going to do it? That's pretty intense, you know, I think. If we don't do it, the rocks will do it. Why? Because creation has to worship God. Because He's deserving. That's one of the words that's been kind of going through me again and again and again and again in my sort of my quiet time lately is, oh God, You are so deserving. You know? I used to say You're so worthy. But then I don't really understand worthy. You know, that's one of those words that's been sort of conferred upon me because I'm in church. You know, I don't really understand that word. But it's the same word as deserving, isn't it? If I'm, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. But that seems to work with me. Lord, You're so deserving. Yeah? He is. So the second thing, see, the first thing is what we give to Him. And what do we give to Him? Worship. Worship. And the second thing, when we gather together like this, is what He gives to us. And that's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. Jesus said, if I, by the finger of God, drive out demons, then know the kingdom of God has come near to you. Got to share something with you. When I was a young Christian, I don't know, I guess I am still young compared to some people, I guess. But when I was a young Christian, I worked in a dry cleaner. And, you know, when I was, oh God, I want Him to bring that back to me again, you know, because when I was a young, and He is bringing it back to me, I was an absolutely mental for the presence of God. You know, nobody had to tell me, you know, all of this stuff. I was just, when I first gave my life to Jesus, I was absolutely mental for the presence of God. Do you know what I used to do? I used to go for walks with Jesus when I was first Christian. And I would conclude silly things like, you know, God, I read in the book of Genesis where You told Adam to take care of a garden. And then I realized how flippin' big this garden was. I mean, you know, it was like several thousand square miles. You know that, right? I mean, it was huge. It was like huge. So I figured, God, you know, You must have given this guy the ability to fly around. Because there's no way he could have walked around and tended the garden. There's no way. Right? So I thought, well, if You did it for him, and Jesus came to bring back everything, then You would have done it for me too. You're going to do it for me too. So I'd go for walks with Jesus and go looking for the highest hill that I could jump off of so that I could fly. And guess what? Never happened. As a matter of fact, I almost broke my neck. But you know what? You know what the Lord keeps reminding me of? He just loves that kind of faith. Folks, do you know something? Do you know that there's only one thing that turns God on? There's only one thing that turns Him on. And that's faith. Do you hear me? There's only one thing that gets God excited. There's only one thing that pleases him, and that's faith. Well, Curtis, doesn't he get excited when we worship? What do you think worship is? Worship's an incredible act of faith. Why? Because none of us has ever seen God. None of us ever touched God. None of us ever heard his voice. I don't know. People talk about the audible voice of God and seeing things. I don't know. I don't know. But the Bible says this. Those who come to him must believe that he exists. And that he rewards those that seek him. Why do we have to believe that he exists? Because you've never seen him. You're not sure if what you're feeling is God. You're not sure if what you're... It's faith. We're trusting, aren't we? What is faith? It's trust. And what happens? What happens to you and I when we put faith in God? He moves. And he rewards that faith. Now, I feel Father wants to reward our faith in these next two nights. Thank you, Lord. I think that, you know, I had a dream. I got to tell you, but I've never experienced this before, guys. I have done meetings now since 1994, and I've preached hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times all over the world, and I've never had this happen to me. A couple of nights ago, I had a dream. And in this dream, I saw this meeting. I knew it was this church. But, you know, the chairs were different, so it must, you know, you guys must have done something to screw the dream up or something, but I'm kidding. And, whoa, man, I tell you, I've never experienced anything like it. So, in the dream, the Lord was healing the sick here. Well, you can smile. Good, I think that's good. The Lord was healing the sick. And people were absolutely getting touched by God. But there were some who weren't. It was so clear in the dream that some people were getting healed and others were not. And the ones who were getting healed were the ones who were in faith. And the ones who were not getting healed were the ones who were just kind of waiting around for God to do it to them. Wow, what a revelation. God responds to faith. He doesn't need a lot of it, he just needs a little of it, right? Thank you, Lord. So the second thing that he wants to do is in times like this, is he wants to come. We bring to him worship and adoration because we love him. Do you love him? Maybe you're here tonight and you don't love God, or maybe you do, but you're just not so sure about, you know, what that kind of looks like. And maybe the reason is because you've never really surrendered your life to Jesus. And I want to give you a chance to do that. That's faith too. When you say, Jesus, I'm here. What I'm feeling in the air is just really unusual, and something's jumping on the inside of me, and I'm going to just say yes to you. Yeah? I'll give you a chance to do that tonight. It's real, real simple. It's that simple, actually. So we adore him because we give him worship because we love him. Because he's awesome. And then he comes. How many of you want the Lord to come tonight? Yeah, Father, thank you so much. Thanks, bro. It's awesome. I want to read something to you out of Luke chapter 4. And then we're going to just kind of see where the Lord wants to go. In the book of Luke, we see Jesus... you were kind of touching on that, coming into the first place of his public ministry, as we like to say. And the first thing that he does is he quotes the prophet Isaiah. So I want to just take a look at that a little bit, if we can. And it says in Luke chapter 4, beginning of verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Folks, you know what? Here's a wonderful thing about Jesus and our relationship with him. Do you know that the Son of Man, the Son of God, God incarnate, Jesus came and became flesh and did not walk around in such a way that you and I can't comprehend? Isn't that good news? When Jesus came, when God became flesh, incarnation, he is God in the flesh, and he walked a life that you and I can walk. Jesus, this is a beautiful thing about Christianity. This is a wonderful thing about this faith that you and I have come into. And that is this: God knows what it's like to be you. God knows what it's like to be you. The one thing that we can offer the whole world is that this God that we serve, this God that we worship, this God that comes and works in miracles and healings among us, he knows what it's like to be you. Oh, that's so good. Let me see those hands again, those of us who've been through some of the dark places in the last couple of years. You know, one of the comforts that God has brought to me in my heart over these last few years is, Curtis, I know exactly what it feels like. Jesus knows what it feels like. Amen. He knows what it feels like to be alone. He knows what it feels like to be confused and perplexed. He knows what it feels like to be depressed. He knows what all those things feel like, because the Bible says that he was tempted, tested, and tried every single way we were, yet without sin. What a champion! He's been through all of it, yet he didn't fall like you and I do. I'll tell you what, how many of us would say, Curtis, you know what, you're right on this one. When we go through the tempting and the testing and the trials, oftentimes we fail, don't we? Oh my goodness. Oftentimes we fail. But the most amazing thing to know is that Jesus went through the same thing, but he didn't fail. Well, how does that bring comfort to me? Because now that we are in him, we can have the same victory that he had. Thank you, God. He is my victory. The beautiful thing about the incarnation is that God came, became flesh, and walked on planet Earth, and he knows what it's like. Could you imagine God knowing what it's like to walk down a sidewalk and stub his toe and scream out in pain? God! That's what he did. What do you think, Jesus walked around 2 feet off the ground all the time? With that stupid halo around his head that we always look at in those pictures? You know, those little donut around his head? You know what? He knows what it's like. Thank you, Jesus, that you know what it's like to be me. Thank you, God, that you know what it's like to be weak. What are we offering the world? We're saying to the world, God knows what it's like to be you. This is the thing that makes Christianity different than any other belief system on the planet. Every other belief system on the planet says this is what we have to do in order to please God. Jesus comes and he says you just have to believe, because there is nothing you can do to please God. Just believe in his Son. What an awesome gift. Thank you, Father. I want you to know tonight, if you're here and you've never accepted that gift, God is not offering you some place and position to be a robot. That's not what this is all about. This is about you coming into relationship with the living God and living by his power that's at work in you. Jesus came back in the power of the Spirit. How many of you would like to continually walk in the power of the Spirit? Thank you, God. And we can, you know. We can. Because you see, when he went up and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, up in a place I call planet heaven. Do you know heaven's an actual place? You know, Jesus did not rise as a spirit being. That's a false doctrine. He rose as a man. He rose up right off the planet, went right through the clouds, and they saw him. And he went streaming through space faster than the speed of light. And there is a man with a body in heaven right now, sitting on the right hand of God. And when he went up there, what happened? He gave us his Holy Spirit. To do what? To empower us who believe. Thank you, God. Whoa! And that Holy Spirit is here tonight, not just to empower us, but to meet our physical and spiritual needs. Do you believe that? Because you know what? Blessed is a man who does not think he shall receive anything from God, for he shall get exactly what he expects. You will get exactly what you expect. Oh, I went to the meeting and I didn't receive anything. Don't blame me for it, folks. You get exactly what you expect. Do you expect God to touch you, to minister his love to you? Well, that's what you're going to get. Because faith pleases God. Well, I'm here tonight, aren't I? Yeah, that's a measure of faith. But you see, here's what we're going to do. There's going to be a time at which we're going to start praying for those of you who have any... If you have a flipping hangnail, we're going to pray for you tonight that hangnail will get healed. If there's anything wrong with you, we're going to pray and believe God for healing. Why? Because God wants us to be well. Folks, I got to tell you something. You know the thing... Can I hear one amen on that? I think this guy up here is giving me an amen. You know what? Here's the thing. Here's the thing that's so amazing about this whole Lakeland thing. Do you know, folks, there's nothing new under the sun? Oh, this is so new. No, it's not. Stop that. There is nothing new under the sun. But you see, what God does is he comes and he breathes on us afresh and he reemphasizes something that's lost. Why? Because he has a plan. That's why. And what is he doing? Well, in Lakeland, he's breathing on the fact that we need to trust him to see his power demonstrated. Amen. Because it's when the power of God is displayed that we see the full circle of what the gospel is. Because, folks, listen now, the power of God is not just somebody getting out of a wheelchair. The power of God is also the fact that conviction grips a person's heart and they say yes to Jesus. But you see, we've lost that other part of it. Oh, folks, how many of you have friends that if they saw the power of God displayed, it would be no problem for them to come to Jesus? That's why, how many of you? Let me not go on before we establish that point. That's why we see so much of it in the New Testament. And every time you see the God's power displayed, many times, I shouldn't say every time, the Bible says, and it showed his glory. Thank you, Father. So we're going to trust God for that tonight. We're going to trust God to see his power come tonight. Amen? Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Verse 16, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Church, listen, we so desperately need the anointing of God. What is the anointing? Well, I'm anointed already. Well, yes and no. You know what I've discovered about him? There are times when more of his power and presence comes, and there's times when less of his power and presence comes. Don't ask me. I don't understand all that stuff. I really don't. You know what? I've been in meetings where right over there, God's presence is stronger than right here. I don't understand that. I really don't. I was doing a meeting one time in Sweden, which is the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. I couldn't even sleep that night hardly because it was so bizarre. You know, how many of you know God will offend your mind oftentimes to reveal what's in your heart? How many of you know that he doesn't work based upon your understanding, but he works based upon how he wants to? How many of you know that we have to come up to the place where he is? We have to trust him. It's not a matter of us understanding things before God moves. And oftentimes he'll offend us that way, won't he? He does it to me all the time. I was in this meeting, and it must have been 600-700 people in this meeting. And over on one side of the room, God's presence was so strong. It was just, It was just like, whoa, wham, wham, wham. All kinds of stuff was happening over there. And I'm standing in the front because I was exhausted. And I'm looking over. It's like, whoa, look at this. So I got the microphone and I said, whoa, everybody quick, get over to that side of the room. God's over there. There's this river flowing through this spot. And I literally, like, I don't get visions. And so maybe you do. I don't, like, see, you know, like, see pictures and stuff like that. I just don't. I wish I was that spiritual, but I don't see that. But I just saw this picture in my mind's eye of this river flowing through that side. I said, there's a river over there. Quick, everybody get over. The pastor comes over to me and he says, you do realize that when we went, because they own this, there's an old theater in this place called Uddevalla, Sweden. He said, when we got the survey for the building, there is a river that runs right underneath that side of the room. Like, what the heck is that all about? I don't know. You know what Jesus said to Nicodemus, didn't he? He said, you know what? The one who is born of the Spirit, it's like the wind, it blows wherever it wants to. You know what our job is? Our job is to catch the wind. You know, we've heard that so many times. It's like, oh, catch the wind. It's such a cool thing to say in church now. But it's so true. We've got to tune ourselves in to what God wants to do and what He's saying and just catch what He's doing. How many of you in this room right now have pain in your body? You've got, I don't know what it is, but you're sick in some way or another. Put your hand up for me. Come on, don't do this. You know, don't act like you're Norwegian. Put it up. Go like this. Okay. Oh, Jesus. So God's presence is here tonight to relieve us of those things. Amen. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would just begin to move in this room and begin to touch people's bodies in this room in Jesus' name. And the only thing we have to do is believe, is trust. Folks, it matters not whether you like me or you think that this is a good meeting or a bad meeting. It does matter if you come back tomorrow, but whatever. That matters not. What matters is that you pour out that little bit of faith that you've got. That mustard seed of faith, just that little thimbleful of oil. Remember that? Remember that lady who got a little bit of oil and she poured it out? The preacher came and said, I'm hungry. And she said, I have never met a preacher who wasn't. And she poured out that little bit of oil and the oil never stopped. God's just asking us to pour out that bit of oil. That's all you have to do. Just have faith. Just trust Him. Amen. Father, I take authority right now over the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. And I break it off of your people right now. Off of every single person here. Lord, we take every thought, every wandering, drifting thought captive to your obedience in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pull down every stronghold in this place right now that would stop your people from receiving what you have for them in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why does God want to do this? You know why? Because of His love. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Why? Because He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Do you know what? Do you know the gospel is good news? All right, three people agree with me. Man, we're going to have a rough time tonight. The gospel is good news. What is that good news? That God wants to meet human needs. Wow. Wow. What is the good news to somebody that's sick? That God wants to heal them. What is the good news to somebody that's emotionally broken? That God wants to fix that brokenness. What is the good news to somebody that's lonely? They don't have to be lonely anymore. The Spirit of God can come and live on the inside of you. That's always been His intention. The gospel is good news. Now, we need to address something here. Folks, do you know what the number one problem that we have had in the church as it relates to the power of God and the power of the gospel is our unbelief? Now, I'm going to share something with you here. I'm going to just let you see my dirty laundry. Folks, I'll tell you something. You know what happens eventually sometimes with people like me? I have prayed for hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people. Not hundreds of thousands. Maybe. I don't know. It feels like it. But hundreds and hundreds of people. And you know what? Sometimes you pray for somebody again and again and again and again for something and nothing happens. Do you know what begins to happen to you if you're not careful? You start doubting God. I want you to follow me now. Faith pleases God. It's the only thing that pleases Him. So you start doubting God. We do it sometimes as individuals, and we do it en masse as denominations. We do it en masse as churches and movements. Why? Because in our minds, we don't understand why God isn't doing something. So human nature is that what we start to do is we start to develop and build structures around our doubt to alleviate the pain. And we start saying things like, well, in God's sovereignty, it was His intention for the cancer to take that person. Or we start saying things like, well, God's will is not that He heals every single time. Why do we say that? Because what we've observed is that He didn't. So if He didn't, even though He says He would, then therefore, really, what He says is not as valid as what I've seen, so we build a structure around our experience. And what have we done? We've entered into the realm of doubt. Yeah, but Curtis, come on! You know as well as I do that there's times when we pray for people and nothing happens. Right? Come on! Yes, of course! But what is our position supposed to be? Our position is to be in faith. Folks, listen to me. Nowhere in the Bible are we encouraged to step out of faith and not believe the promises of God. Nowhere in the Bible have we been encouraged in any shape or form to say that because we haven't experienced it, therefore, we are not to believe in the promises of God. For God so loved 3/4 of the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Is that what it says? For God so loved what? The whole world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is God's heart and His will that every single soul come to Him. He did not send His Son to die on the cross for somebody to go to hell. But has someone gone to hell today? Yes. What is our position? Oh God, that's not Your heart. Jesus said this, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been suffering violence. That's what the King James Version says, of which we need to rid the planet of every one of those. But anyways, the correct translation is, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. Listen to me now, folks. This is very important. What does that mean? From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advanced. What are the days of John the Baptist? He's talking about a dispensation. He's talking about an old covenant. Until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. The kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing throughout the ages, right up until the day of Jesus on planet Earth. In other words, the kingdom of God on Earth has been struggling to advance. Hasn't been an easy road. And Jesus says, now forceful people lay hold of it. Why? Because it takes forceful people with forceful faith to say, come, kingdom of God. When Jesus told the disciples the phrase, thy kingdom come. No, you know what, come on, we're all good Bible students here, you know what the whole inference there is. It's not, let your kingdom come, it's come, kingdom of God. Be done, will of God. There's a forcefulness as it relates to that. Well, do I have to scream and shout and act stupid like you? Maybe. If that's what it takes, that's what we have to do. The Bible says, in James, it says that the hot and intense prayer of a righteous person does a lot of work. Well, hello. God doesn't respond just because we scream and yell and shout like we're stupid. No. He responds on the basis of faith. And how many of you know that if you have a rabid Doberman pincer in your house, and it's about to chew up your kids, that you're not going to stand there and go, come on, get out. Oh, oh, puppy.
How many of you know that? You're going to grab anything that within your reach, and you're going to be screaming and spitting like a madman or a madwoman to get that thing out of your house. That's what he's talking about. And oh, Lord Jesus, we've become so proper, haven't we? Yeah? How many of you would like me to spit on the ground and put my finger on it and stick it in your mouth? I'd get arrested for that. You'd never have me back here again. Maybe that's the reason why I'm not seeing so many people that are mute healed. See, that one came back at me. You know, how many of you know when you point a finger, there's three pointing back at you? What are we willing to do? How far are we willing to go to see the things that God wants to see happen on the earth? That's a challenge to you. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He's anointed me. He's anointed you to preach good news, the good news of the gospel. The gospel is good news. The gospel's not bad news. God is not angry with the world. It's not a matter of sinners in the hands of an angry God. He's not angry with the world. God loves the world. Okay, I'll say it again because I got one amen. Come on, folks. He loves the world. That's why He gave Jesus, because He's in love with the world. He's not angry with the world. If Jesus were walking the streets of Manchester, I mean, you've heard it before, I'm sure, by 1,000 other people other than myself. Do you think He'd be walking around condemning the homosexual community here? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He loves them. I'm going to say it again. God loves the homosexual community. God loves the lesbian community. God loves the world. That's why He gave Jesus. And His heart, His passion, His desire is to minister His healing power to them, that they would know what it means to be whole, what it means to be a human being standing under His righteousness. That's all He wants. He doesn't want to become a bunch of religious, you know, grape, sour grape sucking religious people like half of the people in the church. He doesn't want that. He wants them to be free into who they are. And guess what? He's anointed you and I to go and bring that freedom. Amen. Okay, let's get through this. Oh, Jesus. Folks, I tell you, I'm really feeling the presence of God here. I really feel the presence of God here. I know He's going to move in power in our midst tonight. I know He is. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Thank you, Jesus. What is the year of the Lord's favor? It's the year of Jubilee, isn't it? It's a year where everything's forgiven. All the debts forgiven. Stand up now. Stand up really quick. Don't talk to anybody. Just stand up, please. Just lift your hands to the Lord right now. Oh, Father, you know our debts are forgiven. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Our debts are forgiven right now. We thank you for that, Jesus. So much. So much. I want you to just put your hand on the person next to you. Don't talk to them. Just put your hand on them and just pray for them right now. Just pray in the Spirit for them right now. Thank you, Lord. Oh. Whoa, Father, thank you. Our debts are forgiven tonight. Oh, it's so good. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you're so good. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you begin to move right now, you people? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bro, could you come and just minister on the keyboard? Thank you, Jesus. First thing I think I'd like to do tonight is we're just in the Lord's presence. I just felt the Lord, as I was praying for the meeting, I just felt the Lord say that there are people here who have been experiencing some consistently, terrifying dreams. It's like really nightmarish dreams. And attached to that, there's been a lot of anxiety and fear that you've had in your lives. Folks, we're all here tonight to receive from God, okay? You know, you can't receive anything unless you admit that you have a need. Where this is not intended to embarrass anybody. But I know that the Holy Spirit wants to set you free tonight. You've been experiencing some really terrifying dreams that just doesn't seem to stop. And along with it, there's a lot of fear, like a dread that's over you. It's almost like a fear of death, a fear of something bad that's going to happen. We're going to just worship for a while, and we're going to just get into the presence of the Lord here and see what He wants to do. But without anybody looking around, if that's you, I feel like two or three people here tonight. Where are you? Stick your hand up for me. Okay, one person. Yeah, I know that was somebody over here. Anybody else? Okay, both of you, can you come and stand up front, please? Stand up front. Thank you, Jesus. Folks, let's just close our eyes and just receive from the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. The word of the Lord to us tonight is we have this anointing. Whoa! We have this anointing. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on you as well as He was on Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you for your presence here tonight. He did. He did. He came to destroy the works of the evil one. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let it come. The Lord's going to do a lot of stuff here tonight, folks. Don't spectate. Participate. Just lift your hearts to Him. More. I want to get a chance to pray for every single person here tonight, so please don't leave. But we wanna just kind of follow what He wants to do first. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, just worship. It's just worship.